Die jong mense van Houston is sterk jong en ek het twee van hulle, ek het twee dames in die ateljee by my in ons bus hier waar ons in Houston sit en ek gaan eers met Caitlin Plaatjes gesels. Caitlin, welkom hier so by Hart.
Dankie met die.
Nou, jy is 'n jong mamie. Jy het op die ouderdom van 16 swanger geraak. Ja. Nou, eerstens, jy was 'n topstudent, topleerling in jou skool en op die tydstip toe almal uitvind jy is swanger. Dit was na jou ma afgesterf het. Ja. Was jy 'n bietjie verstoot en dinge was nie lekker nie. Deel 'n bietjie daai storie met my.
Ek was 16 jaar oud toe my ma afsterf en daai tyd toe my ma afsterf toe het ons eksamen geskryf en die spesifieke maandag het ek net gevoel maar ek voel regtig soos ek normaal sou speel en gesels met vriende het ek net gevoel die spesifieke dag wil ek een kan wees. En toe ek huis toe gegaan het, het gereen die middag. Ek is sop nat gereen. En ek wacht toe van my pa om my oproep te gee van die hospitaal af. En hulle sê toe, hulle het my ma vervoer na Woester toe. En die dinsdagochtend, toe het my ma, toe hulle die politie aan ons deur kom klop en vir ons gesê, maar dit lyk of my ma het die gemaakt het. Hulle het ons een nummer gegeven, wat ons spesifiek moet bel. En die spesifieke moment het ek net gevoel, maar dit is die ekkie en dit is die waarde, want ek het nog my ma levendig gesien, net voordat sy hospitaal toe is. En nadat het ek, die begrafenis het alles goed gegaan en nadat het ek net gevoel, maar eindelijk nou wat my ma weg is, nou voel ik net alleen, ik voel verstoord, niemand verstaan mij niet. En toe begin ik zwanger te raak. Daai specifieke moment het ek net gevoel, niemand wil bij mij wees, ik is alleen, allemaal verstoord mij en er las kinder achter mijn rug. En my ma was een wat van mij opgebouwd het en my sterk gehou het. Nou, elke aand het ons, dan het ons gaan slaap so in de kos, of het ons wakker geword so in de kos. En my ma was die een wat vir ons moed ingepraat het, my kind, ons weet jy kan, jy moet nou net besef, jou ma is lief jou, en jy moet net sterk bly. En toe my ma wegval, het ek net gevoel, daar is nou niemand wat my ondersteun nie. En huidiglik,
hoe is, lang na jou ma se afsterwe wat jy het gevind, jy swanger?
Ek was, my ma, maart 2015, in June maand, ja. Toe vind ek uit dat ek is swanger.
So, toe is jy nou, so, dit is hektiek, so dit is baie wat gebeur het in 'n baie kort ruk. En soos jy sê, ek het genoem, jy was jou topleerling by die skool. Jy word te verstoot, want die mense kan nie glo dat so 'n slim meisie, hoe dit kan gebeur hê. En dis moeilik, moeilik op so 'n ouderdom om so te veroordeel word. Want almal maak toch foute? Almal maak foute. Toe waarin gaan jy vandaar af? Waarin weet vir jou die hulp gegee?
Daar vandaan het ek gegaan na ons school waar daar een peer education program aangebied was. En die program het my geleer om rechte keuses te maak, om verkeerde keuses te maak. En wat ek kan bereik in die leven sonder dat mense vir jou minag wat hulle vir jou verstoot en ongeag jou omstandighede.
En hoe het hulle te werk gegaan met jou?
Hulle het elke keer, miskien een of twee dae in die week het hulle groepsessies gehad. En dan in die sessie het ons net by mekaar gekom en ons gevoelens uitgepraat en niemand het mekaar geoordeel daarin.
En dit is so wonderlik, want dis wat mens nodig het. En ek wil dit noem aan die ouer mense ook, want ek dink baie mal, weet wat, ja, ek weet reeds, dit is die kinders wat oordeel, is die jong student en die ander leerlinge wat oordeel. Maar die oordeel kom van ergens, die ouers by die huis het iets te sê, en dit kom van daar af. En die punt is, baie van ons weet nie wat achter toe deure aangaan nie. En net omdat nie almal swanger word, nie, moet nie dink dit gebeur nie. Moet nie nou nie dink dat jy nou kan oordeel. Maar jy het jou kleintjie gehad.
Ja.
En jy is nou 18 jaar oud. Jy het terug skool toe gegaan. Ja. En hoe lyk ons punte nou nog steeds baie goed neem ek aan?
Ja.
Jy het so vermoede gehad. Want ek kan dit sien. Ek kan dit sien in jou oë. Ek kan sien dat jy deursettingsvermoe, jy druk deur. En ek weet jy is al reeds deur baie. Wat sal jy vir die jong mense daar buite kan wil sê? Vir die jong dame wat vir haarself in 'n selfde situasie bevind?
Al wat ek vir haar kan sê is, sy moet net deurdruk, ongeag wat mense van haar sê, wat omstandighede sy in lewe, sy moet net volhou, dat die Here, sy moet die Here vertrou en dat sy weet, sy kan dit doen.
Ha, so mooi gesê, ek het julle gesê, die jong mense van Houston het baie, baie belangrike stories, stories wat ons moet hoor en stories waarin ons aandag moet skenk. Ons sal deur die dag nog meer van die stories deel. Caitlin Plaatjes, hierso van Houston, baie dankie dat jy jou story gedeel het vandag.
Plezier.
So I said you have another wonderful story from a young lady. Her name is Rosemary Murphy and she was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome about 7 years ago. Now Rosemary, you are only, how old are you now?
I'm 18 now.
You are 18, so you were very young when this happened.
Yeah.
Now, this is a syndrome that actually slowly but surely works its way through your muscles and leads to paralysis.
Yes.
Please tell me your story.
Well, I was grade 6 actually when it happened. I was in the primary school and I used to get these slight migraines and My mom decided, okay, let's take it to the doctors, find what it is, because I keep on complaining about it. They thought it was maybe my hair because my hair was really long. Mm-hmm. So my mom cut my hair, but then I still got the headaches. So, okay, went to doctors. They were like, no, it's just migraines. I just drink a couple of tablets and stuff. And then I went to the school. One time I was at school, and then the class was like making a noise. And it was actually an exam time, actually, that time. And it was this the second term actually, and then I was just complaining to my friends, my head is sore, don't make a noise, and I collapsed, and they took me to the principal's office, said that I've collapsed right now and they think they should take me to the clinic, and then they did that, and then I went to the clinic, got there, I looked around, and I collapsed again. When I opened my eyes again, I was at Worcester Hospital and I was like in the ICU, but then I realized I couldn't feel anything. And then the doctor started pricking me with needles all over my legs and my arms and everything. And they're like, oh my goodness, this child can't feel anything. And I'm looking around, I'm so dizzy, I don't actually know what's going on. My mom wasn't with me at that time because my mom was at work. My mom was actually on her way to Red Cross Hospital with my sister because my sister is epilepsy. She has cerebral palsy. Okay. So my mom was on her way to Cape Town with her. And then they phoned her and told her, but hey, you have to come back. Rosemary just collapsed now, and she's at Worcester Hospital. And my mom immediately had to turn around with my sister and come back. So my aunt was with me there. And then when I opened my eyes again, I was laying in the ICU. I was pipes and stuff. And then I could hear people talking, but I didn't really know what went on. And then as time went on, they said, okay, they think I have Guillain-Barré syndrome. They asked my mommy, were we out of the country? Did I touch anything? Did I come in contact with anybody that was over the country? Because it's a very rare disease and it's not normally found here. So my mom was like, no, we didn't go anywhere. She can't think of anything or anybody that I came in contact with. And they were like, okay, but they're going to fly over this, it's like a specialist thing. That they're going to fly over, and then they gave it immediately. They gave me like 500 grams of this in, and then I have asthma. So when they gave me this 500 grams of this thing in, I went in an asthma attack, and then my heart stopped about like more than once. And so my mom was like, they were like, ma'am, if your child doesn't make it now, what are you going to do? And my mom was like, well, if it happens, it happens. I mean, we can't decide when our time is. And they're like, wow, you're strong, they tell my mother. And mom's like, I just believe I have faith. And I have faith, my mom said. And then after that, I was in ICU for about 3 months. And then I went to the rehabilitation where they take you out of ICU and they put you in the wards. And I stayed there. And then I started moving my arms at first.
So at this stage, it happens. They say it can happen very quickly.
Yes.
From any time within a few hours to a few weeks. And you could be completely paralyzed. So you were in a wheelchair. By then, when you had woken up, got out of your coma, you were paralyzed.
Yes, I was paralyzed from my legs up till about my shoulders. And then as they put me on the treatment, it took like a month. In a month's time, I could start moving my upper body. But my lower body was still paralyzed. So then I was for a year and a half in a wheelchair. And when the Guillain-Barré turned actually into this encephalitis thing, where it affects your brain, basically. So you can't talk, you can't walk, you can't think, nothing. You're basically like a baby again. And my mom had to do everything for me, like completely everything. And I got frustrated because I couldn't do things for myself anymore.
And I mean, you were 11. I mean, by then you were used to doing everything for yourself.
And I was a very active child. So I like to play and run and climb trees and things like that. So I couldn't do that anymore. And which caused me to get a bit of a temper because I couldn't do things anymore.
Frustrated, yeah.
So I would just sit there and watch everybody playing, everybody doing things. And I would get angry and, you know, full of moods and things. And then my mommy took me to a specialist, and then this doctor had to find out if there is still any, can I still write or read? And then she would give me the stuff to do, and then if I could do it right, she was like, okay, so there is still, you know, let's put you in a school and let's see what happens. And that's when I went to Eros.
Yes.
That's in Bridgetown.
Yeah.
So I went there, and that's where I started to walk again, and where I started to write. And then what funny was, when I went there, I was a year out of school. So that's why I'm actually now only matric when I could have been before that, because I'm turning 19 this year.
Okay. But I mean, look at you. I mean, the point is you are walking again.
I'm walking, I'm talking,
and
I'm
you
writing.
Are vibrant. And I mean, what an experience. I mean, I don't think anyone can ever look back on that and go, sure, I don't think this is something you could wish upon your worst enemy ever.
I won't, because but I don't regret it though. I've learned a lot. Like, I mean, if it wasn't for that whole thing, I wouldn't even be sitting here today. So my journey from being sick like that. I mean, I've met so many people and I've had this new view of life, because since that happened to me, I've looked at the world differently. I decided, okay, Rosemary, your life could be taken anytime, so you need to make the best of every situation. So you gotta try your best, work hard, take everything that comes your way, every challenge, you take it. Don't be like, oh no, it's a big challenge, I can't face it. Take it on. So that's why I take everything on in life. And I mean, when I was great, when I had to do grade six again, I had started from the third term. So I only did the first term, which was the year before that, and then I started grade six again from the third term to the last term. So basically you need four terms to pass, but because I had three terms and I did so well, I was passed into the next grade. So yeah, and when I got there at school, I took all the diplomas because I was like, yeah, okay, I can do this. So yeah,
sure, isn't this just wonderful? I mean, we're broadcasting live from Houston. Strong women in Houston, this is what we need, the backbones of our society. That's really what they are. At such a young age, it's normally the woman. These are the future mothers, future leaders of our country. One already is a mother, and I know she's already making a difference. She has to take care of her family as well. And I mean, in your case as well, there's just so many things that I know you both want to do. Now Caitlin, ek weet ons het vroeër gesels net baie vinnig. Ek het nou van die lig af gevra, wat wil jy eendag word? En jy het gesê jy het 'n passie vir kinders.
Ek wil graag onderwysers in die grondslagfase wees, omdat ek het self 'n kleintjie en ek is baie mal om skool te gaan, en ek was nog nooit regtig uit die skool het, nie as ek siek is. So ek het 'n passie vir kinders en dis my beroep om onderwyseres te word.
And you, Rosemary?
A mechanical engineer, because that's my passion. My grandpa was actually a mechanic and my dad is actually a forklifting engineer, so I think it runs in the blood, so that's why.
You see, there are big dreams, but I mean, very quickly off air, we mentioned, Fela, aren't we? Finance is a problem.
Yes, it is a big problem.
We are going to need assistance where you can. It's Caitlin Plaikis, onderwyseres. Dis wat sy wil graag wil word. Rosemary Murphy, mechanical engineer. Let's see what we can do. Please, 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 if you can, make contact with me on WhatsApp. 082-221-049. That's the number. Please contact us. Let's see what we can do. Let's see where we can assist them. Let's see if we can put you in touch with them so that you can assist. We want to make more dreams come true. 16 days for youth. Ladies, what a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you dat julle my aangeraak het.
It's a pleasure.